Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
and music. Welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and you are at the right place at the right time. One of my favorite bumper tunes. In fact, it was so favorite, and I rarely do this. I'm going to have to just hit it one more time. One more again, as we've known it to be said.
as I said, it is rare that I play the bumper tune two times. That's a rarity. I don't know if I've ever done it, in fact. I don't know if I've quite ever done that, played the same bumper tune two times. And, well, let me stop myself for a moment here and let you know that you are at the right place at the right time. Yes, welcome to another edition of Progressive News Weekly, where, well, week in and week out, we bring you news and information that's gathered from around the country, but sometimes we go beyond the borders. But yes, you are at the right place at the right time. And today, specifically, I truly am, no question, no doubt, I truly am thrilled with the program that I'm going to be bringing to you with my colleague, Mr. Cecil, our most able engineer. It just truly gives me great pleasure to bring this particular program to the air. And it's something that I have been working on for many months. It's something that is near and dear to me, and that's why we did open up with that particular bumper tune. As I said, it is a rarity. It is a rarity when I play the same bumper tune twice. That, in case you don't know, was You and Music by the great Donald Byrd. And if you don't know who that is, then you just got to get on your computer and Google that up. But I played that particular bumper tune for a reason, You and Music, because music is something that is, well, near and dear to all of us. I can't say I know a person that doesn't like any form of music. So this is something that I've talked with family and friends and colleagues and our guests that are going to be joining us shortly, who I'm thrilled and honored to have, by the way. So you're in for a real treat today. But again, I want to take a moment to thank you for taking this time out to join another edition of Progressive News Weekly. It's news, I love to say, that you can use. It's news that's unadulterated. It's news that is intended to empower you, inspire you, encourage you, enlighten you, and hopefully instill you to get involved and make a difference. It's news and information that typically you, the listener, bring to me as a topic or a guest or guest that does not get the airtime that it or they deserve. And if they do get airtime on mainstream media, it's given with a spin or a twist, a political or business interest. Here in Progressive News Weekly, there are no outside influences. We keep it real. We keep it live. We bring it straight from the hip. No ready, aim, fire, shoot. No, just bringing it straight real. So it's news that by some standards is controversial. Some people can't handle it, but you can believe it's real. Anything that you hear here is real. It's been vetted. You can do your homework, your research, and check it out. If it's opinionated, it's from an intellectual perspective. And so with that, we encourage you, the listener, to join in. As I said, we're always live. Well, occasionally, from time to time, we'll do a replay by demand. But for the most part, we are live. And so today, if you are on our mail list, you know who our guests are. And I see the lines are blowing up here, so I'm hoping you will participate in this uncommon discourse. Today we have a panel. We haven't done a panel in, I want to say, at least a year. And I don't do panels easily and often because to do a panel, it's got to be about something of real substance. And as I said, music, especially in the African-American community, although my listenership reaches all, and I'm proud to say, all backgrounds, white, black, Hispanic, Latino, Asian, Christian, Muslim, Jews, I am so pleased to have such a broad demographic. But the majority of the audience is African-American. And being an African-American, I'm true to those issues that are specifically affecting that community. I just think it's important that all know about those issues. And so music plays a certain specific role within that community. Though the things that we're going to talk about this evening crosses all boundaries, all boundaries. And as I said, with the panel that we have, these are critical thinkers, critical thinkers. And I'm proud to say over these 9 years that I've been airing, I've had guests. I'm so proud and yes, you could even say bragging to say that may not have been in mainstream, may not be in the common dialogue across the backyard fence or with your neighbor or in the grocery store, but once the dialogue has taken place, you don't soon forget these individuals. You see, there's a lot of remarkable minds out here that aren't across the front page of the newspaper or haven't written the next bestseller, although they have the thought process, the discourse to have many, many writings. So today we're going to talk about the influence of music and what's happened. You hear me talk about this from time to time. I don't let too many weeks go by when I don't talk about what's happened to our music. Are we just now cornered to one type, one given group of artists? Is this the Beyonce? And I don't mean to just isolate the one individual, but it was the first name that came to mind. And I wonder why, because I'm being bludgeoned. You ever imagine that word bludgeon? That's like being beat with a hammer. You know, I'm bludgeoned with the, you know, I turn on the music awards, it's just being inundated with the same artist. And these artists that I have here today, they're remarkable artists. That's all I can tell you. And we're going to listen to a few of their tunes so you can get an idea in case you're not familiar with them. But it's not about just their music. It's about their minds and where they are as accomplished musicians, which make them well-qualified to participate in this dialogue. And by the way, this is the first in a series. So this time is going to fly, or this next 40 minutes that we have is going to fly by, but fret not. These folks will be the foundation of this dialogue going forward. I have lined up numerous musicians, musical artists, writers, arrangers, composers that are going to be joining this dialogue, but this group here will be the foundation and base, and as I like to say, they'll be co-hosting as we bring on, and some will be more well, as you may put it, well-noted in terms of the number of records sold, but in talent, no greater than what we have here. And in terms of speaking truth to power, definitely no more than what we have at our presence here this evening.
Make me one of those apple
so this will be an ongoing discussion, and from
right,
time
Ms.
to time, every few weeks,
you
we'll come
care.
Back and we'll continue, because there's no way we can conclude the discussion, especially with your input on this one program. So with that said, I just want to just take a moment for those of you who are not on the mail list or did not get the announcement of who we have joining us today, just in case. So then you need to know who we have joining us. And joining us today are three individuals, I'm so very proud to say, that are just going to bring it hard, cold, core to the max. First, I want to introduce to you Mr. Anthony Nelson, Jr. Now, some of you are familiar with Mr. Anthony Nelson. Definitely a progressive, speaking truth to power, but with his own unique style of music, he is, by some standards, a jazz artist. And I say by some standards because, and we're going to play a little bit of his music in a moment, because Mr. Anthony Nelson Jr. is a musician, composer, arranger who fuses jazz's tranquility, I love the way he put this himself, with gospel's spirituality, funk's rough edges, and y'all know how I love my funk, and Neil Soul's velvet ease, and he produces a unique sound that's appreciated by many around the globe. We also have on the panel Miss Norma Clark, near and dear to me, and also known as, a.k.a., by those who know her well, the Cosmic Beauty. And there's a reason for that, because her song, her music, her writings are cosmic and beautiful. She's a songwriter, an authentic jazz vocalist with over four decades of commitment to the art of music. Ms. Clark began as a classical student and singer of music before she transitioned to jazz and ultimately contemporary music, and we're going to talk about that as we move on. She's worked with many musical artists over those many years, such as Eddie Bacchus and many others. Eddie Bacchus who worked with Roland Kirk, in case you don't know, another jazz artist. And her unique blend of chords on the lecture song. Then we have Mr. Lyle Omalaya. And he's been on the program before. Part of a progressive duo known as Negro Americano. A progressive young, highly talented rap artist. Not just your typical rap artist, though. As part of the duo Negros Americanos, this multilingual rap duo literally transfers its boundaries, crossing cultures, fusing musical influences, and what I love about them, they address issues concerning oppressed people nationally and internationally, using their music as a bridge to different sets of society. Now, if that doesn't pique your interest to some extent, you have my permission to leave the airwaves.
Oh, man, I dialed the wrong number. I thought I was leaving a message.
So, yeah, we're
going to
delve into this.
And I must have hit the wrong
as we move along, as I said.
Man, wait a minute. 609 is not like 633.
Spending a little bit from each, just so you'll have an opportunity to appreciate what they do.
You can borrow anything, but I want them back.
But before we do that, I just want to introduce this trio, as I said, are going to be a mainstream part of what we're going to be doing with this.
But I know that once they get to
so let's start in the order when I introduce them with Mr. Anthony Nelson Jr. As I mentioned, by some standards considered a jazz artist. So just as a brief introduction, Anthony, tell us a little bit about you, if you would. Welcome to Progressive News Weekly. We're going to have this dialogue about where we are in terms of our music, the influences on our culture, our society, specifically the black community, and how music has played an integral role with
Well, he said he's going to be in Kurt Damboy's cabin tomorrow. So if you would just share a few little words with him as we get into this dialogue. He said Marsh will be here, but a couple of people
well,
going down
first
there
of all,
some
thank
kind
you
of
for
a
inviting
meeting. Yeah, some people, some of them, he said, I will be down there.
Topic to be broached.
But he said,
basically,
he said, hey,
I'm a
meet you tomorrow. I'll be in a meeting, but, you know, text me or call me and leave me a message, and you'll be able to reach me tomorrow.
North jazz scene, which means I transferred over to New York. I've been very blessed and fortunate to catch
tomorrow.
The tail end of the Peppermint Lounge.
See, that's the other thing
that,
I don't know.
Still
we're,
around, you know.
Renata said,
like the John.
I think Renata went in
John Wayne,
when I talked to her, she said, because I could hear her voice. She said,
foremost
Borrow.
Drummers in the world.
I said, Borrow. I said, this is a doctor's office. We need all, you know, our chairs.
I've been
and she said, well,
fortunate.
See, that's what I'm saying.
My path was
people
in,
telling me one thing, telling you something
path.
Else. I said, what
Excuse
are you talking
me.
About?
It's not the traditional path the way we know it now.
There is no doctor's office. I said,
I caught tail end of
that.
Going through
saying,
the
roots.
There's no American Idol.
I was telling him about how we're gonna build in and bring in.
And you actually had
I had just told him that. I said,
some,
well, we're not a
some legwork
yep,
as an apprentice.
Okay, well,
before everybody was trying to throw
said,
you out
well,
into the forefront
we need
as
those chairs back.
The next big thing.
Now,
so you had to have some seasoning. And I've been very blessed that I came up.
Yeah, I mean, you can borrow him because he did say that he's going
to
eventually purchase some furniture.
You know what I mean?
That
the bar's been lowered,
and I know she saw that desk
with a pretty
and
face or a six pack in right in here.
They're identical, all of them.
Appreciate the intro. A quick little intro from Miss Norma Clark and a little bit about your background. If you can give us just a couple minutes before we delve into the dialogue
know, like
of Miss Clark,
kind of
near and dear.
But I think she saw these chairs and she said, oh, yeah, I'll take this.
Look at the wood part of the chair.
Mm-hmm.
You're my warrior. Hello? That's why
Clark,
I called you my warrior.
Ms. Clark?
Yes.
Norma Clark? Norma?
Yes, I'm here.
I mean, but here's
Norma,
I
apologize.
Here's
your mic was
so
off. Would you start over, please?
Let me talk
to Ms. Norma Clark.
Sure.
I'll
sure. Can you hear me now?
Tomorrow. Like,
yes, you're live. You're on the air.
Okay, Daryl, I just wanted to say that you were wonderful.
I said, okay, well, I'll look for
your
call tomorrow.
She didn't call
me off today.
This is why I called you the warrior.
Now nobody communicating.
It's a spiritual
anymore.
Thing
I don't
to
know
that.
If she got it.
But you are definitely a warrior in the best sense of the word.
I know you, like you said.
Yes,
you.
I am a 64-year-old female, black female, and I have been in music over 40 years. So I'm not doing too much now, but I started out doing the classics, singing commencement ceremonies in college. And I wanted to be a black classical singer, and then it quickly turned to me doing jazz. Meanwhile, as I was a child, I learned how to play the blues harmonica. That happened for financial reasons. I asked for a piano, and we could only afford a harmonica, so that's what I got. But meanwhile, I learned to play that when I was younger, and as I was doing the jazz, I was playing with, at the time, Eddie Backus. He heard that I played harmonica and said, you know, you can't do another job unless you play. And that hyped me up. I began playing harmonica and doing straight jazz. From a time when jazz was really, like, sophisticated, and most musicians were really trying
to
get some knowledge. You didn't hit the stage unless you had some kind of musical knowledge. And because the whole presentation was really for musicians, more so than for the audience. The audience was just people that observed it and was able to benefit from what we were doing. So then I went into the harmonica and the blues and the jazz vocals, and as years went by, I came back to Cleveland, Ohio, that's where I'm at now, a few years ago, and in order to continue with my music, I play keyboard, vocals, and harmonica, which Daryl will probably say some of it now, and that's when my music turns to a little bit more contemporary stuff, the songs that come on the radio. So that's a little bit about, you know, where I've been in my profession.
All right, thank you so much. And then, last but not least, Mr. Lyle. And Omabalo,
I know what she wants. She wants.
If you can tell us a little bit about.
I mean, if you're copping, you're building me a
young
satellite station,
artist,
and you say, look,
thought from a different perspective.
And I know the cop.
Share with me you and your.
Okay, I know him
very
well.
I know your partner couldn't be with us. He's in, I believe,
the one that was on that
South America doing some work.
I see him all the time.
But tell us a little bit about you and your group.
If you explain to him.
Okay.
You
well,
guys, can you
first,
furniture?
Can everybody hear me? I wanted to say hello, welcome. Peace, everyone. Thank you for having me.
He was so important.
Lila Malau, one half of Negros Americanos. We both from Plainfield, born and raised.
And as long as you can tell him
my group consists of me, Lila Malau, and Bishop.
I'm a little confused.
He's currently in Brazil, in Sao Paulo.
Well,
and the reason being, our whole platform of our group, we started in 2011
I mean, I know
in Panama. And before that,
tonight,
there had been, you know, several murders and actual assaults.
And say,
in Plainfield,
we
are both organized with POP, People's Organization for Progress, where we're members of the Plainfield chapter. And when it came to engaging with the Latino community, we had a language barrier.
Right.
So we knew, like, all right, as people in the United States under the same parity, blacks and Latinos, we need to be able to communicate with one another. So it was very important for us to learn Spanish, but also to learn where people come from, right? So we can relate to our fellow man a little better. So
like
the Panama lived out there for a year.
Oh, they had
formed Negros Americanos. And since Bishop, he learned Portuguese and has moved to Brazil.
Oh.
He was doing the mission down there. So
yeah,
that was like the reason behind the name for the group. There are three Americas in the Caribbean. You've got North,
case,
South, and Central.
Why don't you just buy some chairs?
And we're trying to unite,
you
know,
you can have
people of color.
When all the trucks and houses already got, they can go and pick them up.
It's hemisphere. And so who colonized us? As far as the music goes,
you can buy chairs anywhere and get them in one day.
But it definitely has jazz influence. It definitely has funk influence. You can't not have funk influence in your play, though. It's not going to happen. It is going to come out one way or another. We try to make sure that our presentations are engaging. And empowering. Hip hop has got a bad rap because there's been a lot of bad rappers.
And
we're just trying to kind of. serious. Call it what it is. Call it what it is. It's the quality of music has gone down and gone up, but when you look at revolutionary messages. Or things that empower people of color. It is not the enemy of that is not supposed to like it.
That's true. That's a good point.
So when we look at what we're talking about, hip hop in the 90s versus today, big difference. Big difference. Once corporate America saw that. You know, these little Negro work songs were making money, and that these kids, how they were expressing themselves, could be capitalized off of. It took a risk, you know. So what we're trying to do is to stay true to who we are as people, and you know, put our best foot forward. Doesn't mean that you're
like I said, Mr. Wood.
Type of
I'm here to help.
Negativity, but we're striving for the good, you know.
This is Housing Authority.
Wow.
You know, for Richmond Towers.
Wow.
And
you know what?
Something
we
else
so
that
appreciate
happens,
that.
This furniture should go in Richmond Towers.
What I'd like and love to do right now.
Right.
Share with the listeners, in case there's one that really doesn't believe when I talk about the talent that we have afforded to us right now. I just want to share a little bit of Brother Nelson's music right now. Thank you. Okay, okay, all right. I just had to tease you a little bit, all right. And y'all haven't heard Lau and sister performers stuff yet. So no, these are talented artists here who have paid their dues. Now, in case you didn't notice, listeners, there was a common theme. I don't know if you heard it, but I heard it loud and clear. Something to the effect of paying the dues, really paying the dues in terms of the music being something more than just music. You see, that's the concern I have. That piece that you just heard, and I specifically started with that for a very specific reason. That was Mr. Anthony Nelson Jr. We're going to talk about how you can get these folks music before we, you know, end the program in the next 30 minutes or so. So that's by many called jazz. So you don't hear much of that anymore. I mean, there were times, I know when my parents, and I know that, you know, many of you can resonate with this, and your parents or grandparents or aunts and uncles, you know, when they went to a club, just like we listen to, you know, R&B, or we may go to and listen to some hip-hop, and they would go out and listen to jazz. That's how common it was. And there was a time when you were in school, and it wasn't unusual to have an instrument. And if you were talking about having a group, you needed to know something about music.
I haven't
so
even.
So that's why I wanted to have this dialogue. And so
no, really?
With that said, I'd like to just ask the question, and I want to start with Norma, if you would. What's your perspective of the transition, where we have come from in the day when, you know, it wasn't unusual to hear a mixture. You might hear some blues, and you might hear some R&B, and you might hear some jazz. And well, if there was a genre such as rap, that would have been in the mix too. But now you don't hear that broad mix much. What's your perspective, Norma, of that transition of music?
I think that's exactly what it is. It's a transition. As you spoke earlier, you said that we would turn on the radios, our grandfathers, et cetera, and also go out to the club, and they would listen to jazz. That's all they listened to. That's what they listened to on the radio. And then as R&B and rap and stuff became a little bit more accepted by people, then that took over. So now when you turn on, even on commercials, you hear mostly like a lot of rap commercials now. So it's just a matter of time. It's a transition. I'm not happy with everything that the transition entails because it had a lot of capitalism in it. And but that's the way of the time, and it's a transition that has happened. And when the majority is doing it, you don't have to go along with it, but you have to appreciate it for what it is. This is where people are at. This is where the transition has come to so far. So instead of putting it down, I gotta kind of accept it because that's where it's going. That's my perspective on that.
Okay. What do you say about that, Brother Nelson?
I agree.
Well, two things.
I just looked at the clock.
Rap at its inception was party.
You going to talk to Mr. Wood?
When, I mean, because I grew up young enough to listen to hip-hop. And I remember, not only was it a party music, mostly pro-black, power to people, let's have a good time music. But it was really at the beginning of the advent of music video.
I mean,
I remember all we had
was
video music box. Because I think we used to try to turn the channel U. That's bad, dad. I'm really telling my age.
Yeah.
You have to turn on channel U.
These
and
are the kind of chairs
to the second dial to get to the other station. So you can get to channel 35 and Ralph McDonald and video music box. But here's the thing. On that one program, you would hear David
Lee
Roth.
I think he was surprised to hear me.
You would hear.
I don't know why he was.
They even had Marcus Roberts, the governor.
That.
You know,
the
Marcus Roberts,
right, famous
blind jazz pianist.
Yeah, I really.
Then they would have.
You know, he was there, and he said,
on the same program, they would have Maya Deeds.
I appreciate.
They would
that.
Have a
really do
some stuff
but
by.
I'm trying to reach Mr. Marsh. I don't know how I ended up.
Big Daddy.
had
the transition came in, and the reason why we're kind of knocked down to just genres taking over is because
you
can't
be the same.
You're
probably right.
We have genres that are at the forefront because Lady Clark,
you too,
said, is that there's this marketing, this capitalism.
Yeah, she came out.
You know,
she's doing good.
One of the things that we're dealing with right now is
working.
That
hip
hop isn't even owned by black people.
Lord, gotta get my
not owned by the people that created it. And I mean, and Lady
Chris,
Clark,
actually, you know, Chris,
the person that
the
you
board,
mentioned,
little Chris
Eddie Backus Sr., I've worked with his son, Eddie Backus Jr., who's an excellent saxophonist, currently living in Washington, D.C. That is my man. And his father,
Mickin,
just to show you how far we've come.
Marvin just called me and said he just...
Everybody knows about his father. Excuse me, about Eddie Backus Sr. He's one of the prolific jazz organists. But we now only, part of this transition in the music says, we no longer know about the local heroes. We only know the four or five people that they put on the radio consistently because they have even more marketing and they've realized who they manipulate and make a dollar off. That's where we've been brought to. A hero like Eddie Backus Sr. is not known by even the jazz community that he helped fund, he helped bring about some of the baddest young artists. Joe Lovano talks about him, and all the Ohio cats talk about Eddie Backus Sr.
Wow, that's powerful. That's powerful because there's a synergy in there.
That's it.
That synergy being that the senior was a mentor to Lady Clark. And here you are now, you know, working with the junior and then have so much prolific knowledge to share with us about this whole situation with music. So there's a synergy happening here that just lets us know we're on the right track of what we're speaking to. And really what we're doing is we're speaking truth to power. I take my hat off, I take my shirt off and my shoes to these three that are willing to speak truth to power. That's really what's going on right now. They are speaking truth to power because it is an industry, and it started with Lady Clark. She spoke on it. She says there's commercialism, and she even spoke on the P word. It's political, and it is. So we have to be, I believe, very careful to say, okay, is this part of a think tank, you know, to maybe dummy us now? I mean, we all know, or we should, what happened with the Panthers. I mean, it was infiltrated. And it was infiltrated with brothers, and it was infiltrated with. This is well documented. So I speak truth to power week in and week out, and we'll continue. God be the glory, me. And so we know what took place. So it just kind of reminds me of that scenario.